Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I see an attractive woman kind of walking my way, and she's smiling, and so I smile back, and I look back, begin to do my study, but out of my peripheral vision, I see that she's continuing to walk towards me. I look up, and now the eye contact is obvious that she's talking to me. She said, I told my girlfriend, there's the guy that I've seen here often, and I'm not sure what I should do, and my girlfriend said, I should just say, take me, I'm yours. So this attractive woman looks at me and says, take me, I'm yours. About this time, a sweat begins to break out of my forehead. I'm sure my heart rate increased. I realized, oh my gosh, this woman is actually trying to pick me up. Before I could say anything, she looks down and sees that there's an open Bible in front of me. And she says, kind of in an awkward voice, is that a Bible? And I said, yes. And she goes, oh no. And then I said, it gets worse. And she says, what? I said, I'm a pastor. And she says, oh, I'm trying to pick up the pastor.
Well, now there's something you don't hear every day. That's pastor and author J.P. Jones. Don't you want to hear how that story turns out? Well, guess what? You are in luck. Today, you have tuned to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Jim's in-studio guest is pastor and author J.P. Jones. He's got a new book out called Facing Goliath, and he's going to talk about one of the biggest temptations that men have. That's one of them, the whole idea of dealing with members of the opposite sex, but also just facing those fears, those anxieties, those obstacles that kind of get in your way. We are here broadcasting, as always, from the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. You can learn more about APU when you go to apu.edu, or you'll find an APU link on the front of our homepage today. And now, this is part two of a two-part conversation. Here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. J.P. Jones with us. It's a continuing conversation. We're talking about facing your giants head on. He's written a great book called Facing Goliath, How a Man Overcomes His Giants to Follow Christ. I can't think of a better person than J.P. to do this. He's the pastor of Crossline Church in Southern California. For years has been a popular speaker, especially to men. Just a popular speaker. You'll see in a moment what a dynamic person he is. He's an adjunct professor of biblical studies at Biola University. J.P. and his wife Donna have been married nearly 30 years, and they have three children, and they make their home in Orange County. J.P.'s claim to fame is his wife Donna, who has also been on the Homeward broadcast and has done some great writing as well. So, J.P., great to have you back with us.
Thank you. We have been married almost 30 years, but my wife was only 5 years old when we got married.
She looks that way, too. So she, but you don't look bad yourself, not that I'm making a play at you. Although we are going to talk about a woman trying to make a play at you in this conversation. We're going to have this conversation on radio. Here you go. But first of all, I want to talk about kind of David and Goliath. You've written this book, and you kind of use the David and Goliath story. In many ways, you're giving some tips on how to defeat the giants. How did David the giant killer become David the adulterer? Because he kills Goliath, but then he moves into, you know, farther along in the story, this is this man who was, his heart was after God, but yet, you know, he ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba.
Yeah, you know, David wins his battle against fear, the real Goliath, and he loses his battle against lust, Bathsheba. Yeah, further, you know, fast forward the story, David's in midlife. He should have been out leading the battle. He's a great warrior. But instead, he's in Jerusalem. He's hanging out in his house. The text even says, you know, it's the time when kings go out to war, but where's David? He's unaccountable, hanging out, looking. And whenever a man's looking, he finds, and he sees Bathsheba, and, you know, rest is history. It just shows the vulnerability of every guy. Even a strong, godly man can have vulnerabilities, and when those are unchecked and there's no accountability, a man can fall. And so we all face Goliaths, whether a guy is not yet a follower of Christ, a young believer, or a seasoned veteran, a pastor, we have Goliaths.
And when it comes to lust, what suggestion? A man comes to you in open confession to you and says, I have this as a problem. What do you say to him?
Join a club.
Yeah,
because everybody battles with lust. And then it's a matter of, one, I appreciate that openness that a guy might have. But it does come back to some basic biblical principles in terms of how we can experience victory. One, we need to get out of the darkness and come into the light. You know, we need to confess our sins. There's great freedom in confession, both to God and to others. And we need to, as the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And that's where accountability really comes in.
Yeah,
when we become accountable, now we've got some men in our lives who can ask us questions, pray for us, spiritually kick us in the rear end if that's what we need, but basically disciple us into obedience.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to accountability, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have an issue, take, for example, the lust issue or whatever. But what it does mean is that in accountability, well, the Bible says, confess your sins and be healed.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Now, you had an experience. You're sitting at Starbucks. You're actually doing your sermon. And I just smiled when I read this in your book. You're sitting at Starbucks. Your Bible is open. You're drinking your coffee, minding your own business. What happens?
Well, I look up and I see an attractive woman kind of walking my way, and she's smiling. And so I smile back and I look back, begin to do my study. But out of my peripheral vision, I see that she's continuing to walk towards me. I look up, and now the eye contact is obvious that she's talking to me. And she, you know, makes some kind of light banter, and I respond in kind. And then she says, I've seen you here before. And I say, yeah, I come here and I study a lot. And she points back at her girlfriend, who I see, and I wave, and she waves back at me. And she said, I told my girlfriend, there's the guy that I've seen here often, and I'm not sure what I should do. And my girlfriend said, I should just go up and introduce myself, so I'm coming to introduce myself. And I said, oh, hi. I'm still kind of just not really clued into what's happening. And then she said, my girlfriend said, I should just say, take me, I'm yours. So this attractive woman looks at me and says, take me, I'm yours. About this time, a sweat begins to break out on my forehead. I'm sure my heart rate increased. I realized, oh my gosh, this woman is actually trying to pick me up. And before I could say anything, she looks down and sees that there's an open Bible in front of me. And she says, kind of in an awkward voice, is that a Bible? And I said, yes. And she goes, oh no. And then I said, it gets worse. And she says, what? I said, I'm a pastor. And she says, oh, I'm trying to pick up the pastor. And of course, I encouraged her to attend another church and immediately called my wife and told her what had happened, because I did not want that encounter to be used against me, and especially by the evil one. Because, you know, the Bible says Satan has schemes. And I'm a guy, and I recognize this was an attractive woman, and she was making herself available to me, and she lived in my community. I might run into her again. I wanted my wife to know exactly what happened, and I wanted to be able to have an accountable relationship so that I didn't give an opportunity for the flesh.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and the reason I had you tell that story, it's a fun story, sort of, but it's also, you said who you were, you told her you were a pastor, you let her know you weren't interested. And then also you called your wife. I think a lot of men get in trouble because they don't share a detail like that with their spouse.
Yeah, I think it's true. And partly because, you know, maybe some guys think it's not that important, or maybe they feel like their wife might not understand. But I think also, if men were honest, there's a part of us that would want to hold on to that, even as a fantasy that we would review and think about. And that becomes unhealthy. And I think that's where our lusts, which can be positively expressed in a wholesome Christ-centered marriage, can actually become the platform to lead us into sin.
Yeah, no, that is so good. And I'd like to spend more time on that, but I want to move on because you have so many great, it's funny, I'm saying great Goliaths, but great issues that men just have to deal with. You know, another one that you have in there is the Goliath of anger. And I want you to unpack that, because a lot of men have a lot of anger and they can't get past it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why we have anger. Block goals, past trauma, the model that our parents passed on to us. You know, I use...
You even said difficult people.
Or difficult people. Well, you know, there are some jerks out there.
Right.
And we might be one of them, right?
Exactly.
But the reality is, we all get up in the morning, and if you think about an anger scale, 0 to 10, 10 being, you know, rageaholic, and 0, you're just passive. We get up with somewhere on the scale. Well, if I get up at an 8, it only takes a guy cutting me off on the freeway, and all of a sudden, I'm just consumed with anger. So part of the issue is kind of getting in touch with what's happening inside of me. What is happening inside of me emotionally? And I think a lot of men aren't kind of cognizant of what that actually is. A lot of us don't know. But if we kind of really pray the prayer of David, which is, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. I think God will give us insight to what's happening inside of us. And that's then where we can say, you know, I need to internalize more God's grace and love in my life, so that the anger level kind of just dissipates, so that the more that comes out of me is the fruit of the Spirit, not the frustration of life.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And yet sometimes it happens young. Your dad died of cancer when you were a young boy, and you actually uncovered some anger in your own life even when as a young person.
Well, I didn't know it. I'd internalized it, and it kind of drove me to be, what I would call the perfect son. You know, I tried to be the good student, the good athlete, the good guy, wanted people to like me. And I discovered even as a pastor, much of what drove me was kind of pleasing people. And I found myself struggling with anger when I sensed that people weren't pleased with me. Hmm. And rather than kind of deal with what was the real issue inside of me, which was a shame issue, it became easier to be angry because anger is a little more accepted, especially among men. We almost assume, well, he's a guy who's going to get angry. And yet I knew as a follower of Christ and someone who wanted to be healthy spiritually, that wasn't a good thing going on inside of me.
Now, you just said the S word, shame.
Yeah.
And what you said in your book was that you discovered that shame played a big part in the process as well, a huge part. How did you figure that out and explain that to us?
Well, shame, it isn't just saying that you did something bad. Shame is saying you're bad. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And when people feel inadequate, when they feel like they're losers, when they feel like even God couldn't love me, boy, that's a very lonely and dark place to be. And a lot of people are walking around like that.
Yes.
That's why the gospel's such good news, by the way, Jim, because
the
gospel takes away our shame. The gospel says God loves us exactly the way we are. And the work of Christ on the cross covers everything. God removes our sin from the east as from the west. So for me, that discovery was liberating. And it helped me realize that I had internalized some messages from my own upbringing that were unhealthy and were really anti-God in terms of the message that God wanted to give me in the gospel. And as I came to be able to bring that to Christ, I found tremendous freedom. And I think that's what drives me even want to share that message with men is Christ has changed my life. And I want other men to be able to step into that same freedom and transformation.
Great. We're going to talk about that after the break. We're going to talk about crossing the line, a phrase that you love to use and has been a great phrase of yours. J.P. Jones with us. Senior pastor of Crossline Church in Southern California. Also the author of a great book, I'm holding it right here, Facing Goliath, How a Man Overcomes His Giants to Follow Christ. Roger, tell us about it. Also give us the website that they can get more information about JP and all that kind of fun stuff.
Well, we've got the website linked on our homepage today. If you go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, hit the radio broadcast tab, then it'll give you a prompt for the radio broadcast themselves, whether it's our half hour daily, half hour weekly, our full hour weekend edition, or our 60-second short feature. This is on the half hour daily edition, and you'll find JP's name listed for today's program and the program right before it. If you click on that, it takes you to his website. You can learn more about his writing, learn more about his church. Also, the book, we recommend you can get it anywhere. It's called Facing Goliath. It's available wherever books are sold, and just want to point that out there as a point of information, too. And remember, while you're on the Homeward website, browse a while. We've got lots of free materials there, some that you can purchase as well, but you can just take some time and get better acquainted with homeward.com. And now, here's the conclusion of today's edition of Homeward. Once again, here's Jim.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great to have you with us. J.P. Jones with us today. What a great conversation we're having called Facing Your Giants Head On. He's the senior pastor of Crossline Church in Southern California, a popular speaker, an expert in men's ministry. And as you can tell, if you've been listening to this broadcast, if you haven't, you'll want to go back and podcast or stream it. It's just a great conversation. Even although we're talking about men today, as a wife or a mother, you want to be able to hear this too, because it's just great conversation. J.P., we were talking before the break about the fact that when men understand grace, when they grow in their faith, you know, it helps them with the shame issues, with the anger issues and whatnot. And at your church, and I remember this all the way back to doing a men's retreat for you at Forest Home Christian Conference Center, and I think it was the first time I had ever heard the word crossing the line, and I was the speaker, but you were talking about with the men, we were having a little meeting, and you said, we'll encourage the men to cross the line. And so at your church, you use this as well, crossing the line. I want you to talk about how this process is a key for facing Goliath with the truth of the gospel.
Yeah. In fact, the name of our church, Crossline, comes out of
exactly.
the metaphor
sure.
of crossing the line.
Duh. I hadn't thought of that. I tell all kinds of people about your church, and I hadn't thought about
there
that.
There you go.
Duh.
Well, you know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me, Jim, was coming into a relationship with Christ. My salvation defines who I am and what I'm all about. And so I love sharing my faith. I love sharing the gospel with men. We were at a men's retreat, and it came to a time in the retreat. We had all the guys together and in this camp, and it was called Victory Circle, and we'd had communion. And I knew there were men there who were doing business with God, and I had a rope. I stretched the rope across the front of Victory Circle, and I shared, you know, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I said, everybody here is on a spiritual journey, but for some of you guys, it's time to cross the line. And so I gave an invitation, challenged the men to stand up where they were, and physically walk across the line in a symbol of surrendering their lives to Christ. And it just became a kind of an illustration I have used ever since. And then when we started our church, it was kind of like, we want to call people to cross the line and give their lives to Christ. And that, as that relates to facing Goliath, you know, whether a guy's a follower of Christ or not a follower of Christ, he's got Goliath in his life.
Sure.
The difference, see, it was a difference for David when he saw the real Goliath, he saw God as bigger. The commentary in that story in the Bible is the battle belongs to the Lord. So that whatever our Goliath is, the battle belongs to the Lord. But for the battle to belong to the Lord, you got to belong to the Lord. And so it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that connects us to God. We come to God through Christ.
Well, it's a great illustration. I remember in your book, you talked about the fact that you know, David was the high school wrestler wrestling with, you know, the UFC fighter. But the difference is that God is on the side of the high school wrestler. I mean, that really is the way you're...
Yeah, it's essentially true. Because here's the deal. We as men, we kind of internalize a message. We've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. At the end of the day, it's only us, and we got to take on our challenges. So guys feel like they've got to overcome whatever that issue is. And the gospel of Christ is the antithesis of that. The gospel says we don't have what it takes. We don't measure up. And we desperately need Christ. And so when a man opens up his heart to the gospel, he receives Christ not only as the one who forgives his sin, but as the one who makes him adequate for all the challenges he's going to face as a man. And so whatever my Goliath is, I need to surrender it to Christ and in Christ's strength find the victory.
Boy, you're exactly right. That is so true. I want you to talk about the benefit of reading God's word every day in terms of preparing you to get to that place. A lot of men seem to struggle with, you know, taking on the word of God on a daily basis.
Well, it's a habit. It's a discipline. And I am doing a series even in my church right now talking about healthy habits. And I just did the habit of Bible intake. And I shared with my congregation that this is the single most important habit that has changed my life. I came to know Christ when I was 16 years old. My older brother was largely influential in that. And about 2 weeks old, after I'd given my life to Jesus, I told my brother I'd become a Christian. He bought me a Bible and said, you need to read this every day. So at a very early age, 16, and an early age in my faith, just a few weeks old as a follower of Christ, I began the habit of reading the Bible every day. And it has changed my life. God's word is the source of strength, encouragement, power, faith, really everything we need in the Christian life. And so, you know, I am a man defined by what God's word says. And I think that we understand the nature of the battle because the Bible helps us understand it. We understand all of our resources to fight it because the Bible clues us in as to what those resources are. And in fact, one of the key resources is the Bible itself. In a passage where Paul talks about the armor of God, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the weapon we have to fight Goliath, whoever he is in our life, is the word of God.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And you talk about the fact that we need to kind of do the what we call the what about Bob message, you know, baby steps. You know, start with 10 minutes. If it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Just put the word of God in your mind.
I get asked all the time, what Bible version should I read out of? I says, the one you'll actually read.
Yeah.
You know, which scripture should I memorize? The one you'll actually memorize.
Yes.
I mean, and so you start where you got to start. Whether, you know, we know that in developing a physical habit, a guy wants to exercise, get in shape. You know, you don't say start off by running a marathon. You start slow and you build up.
Right.
Spiritually the same way. Take baby steps in reading scripture. You could read a chapter of the Bible in about 5 minutes.
Right.
If you read a chapter a day, 5 minutes a day. I give what I call the Gospel of John challenge, especially the guys that are seekers asking questions. There's 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. Take one chapter a day for the next 21 days. Now, John tells us that the whole reason it's been written is these things I've written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the whole theme of John is coming to know Christ. So you take one chapter a day, that's 5 minutes out of your time. You read it for the next 21 days. And every guy I've ever given that challenge to who's actually taken it, his life has been eternally changed because he's come to a place where he's realized Jesus is who he says he is. I either need to believe in him or I need to walk away, but he is who he says he is. You know,
it's interesting that you say that 21 days, because I've learned that it takes 3 weeks to form a habit, and then it takes another 3 weeks to solidify that habit. It becomes a lifetime habit. So just in 21 days of reading through a chapter a day, a man, woman, kids, whoever, mm-hmm. could actually make that a habit. You know, we always talk about bad habits. People think we in church always talk about bad habits. Maybe we do too much. But the good habit would be to take that habit of just putting scripture into your mind every day, just in a small little dose. And, I think you'll want more.
You know, Jim, it's interesting. I heard somewhere long ago that there's all these commands in the Bible, but there's more do commands than don't commands. And if I spend my time doing the do's, I won't have time to worry about doing the don'ts.
I love that. That makes so much sense. And, you know, along with reading the Bible, one of the other elements, and in many ways, the end of your book is really on good discipleship. Prayer plays a huge part in defeating Goliath as well. Talk about that.
Well, prayer's talking with God, and we're inviting God into our lives. We're asking for God's help. We're accessing God's supernatural resources. And the Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord, so we're asking God to help fight our battles. And that's just the invitation throughout the whole of Scripture that, you know, God says, come to me, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. That's in the book of Jeremiah. And Jesus taught so much about prayer and how we're to talk to him. And our Father, who gives us good gifts, will hear and answer our prayers. So prayer is critical to maintaining a relationship with God and to be spiritually strong to defeat Goliath.
Yeah, and so when you're reading the Word and you're having a time of prayer, it really is going back to what you said. It's that spiritual armor that helps you.
Well, it's a relationship. I mean, we're having this conversation right now. This is the kind of personal relationship we have with God, where we are talking with him in prayer, and we're listening to him in reading Scripture.
No, great, great input. Listen, time went by so fast. Thank you so much. J.P. Jones, the book is called Facing Goliath. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. Thanks for stopping by and for challenging
us. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. You know, Roger, I was thinking about J.P. saying that when he was 16, his brother gave him a Bible and he started reading it. You know, incredible. When I was 16, I became a Christian, wasn't raised in a Christian home. And that was 1970. Yeah, I'm an old guy. And then in 1985 was when I had this experience where I was in my bedroom. I was reading the scripture. I said, Lord, I spend so little time with you. And, you know, I was doing devotions, but not on a regular basis. And I made a commitment. I said, Lord, I will make a commitment to you. I'll spend 20 minutes a day with you. And that was both Bible reading and prayer. And that changed my life. And I've often said to people that it's not in talent or, you know, academics or any of those kinds of things, that a lot of times we get our strength and we get our anointing from God in our quiet time, when we spend time with God in our bedroom, when we spend time with God on a couch. Kathy sits on a certain chair and she reads the scripture, and she does it very regularly, and that's just become part of a habit. And, you know, so it was back in 1985, I started reading through the one-year Bible. I just made a commitment to read through the one-year Bible. I've done it every year since then. And there's times when, you know, the last few days of December, I was reading the entire book of Revelation, you know, because I didn't have it all together. But I don't think you have to do it as some kind of a legalistic way. But when you plant the Word of God in your life, it will help you keep away from the Goliaths in your life. And that's just a great principle for men, as we've been talking about with JP today, or for anyone. And I want to challenge you to do just that. And it might be what JP said, take the next 21 days and read a chapter of John, get in the habit. If you have young children, if you have teenagers, Homeward has two great books, Addicted to God and One Life, their devotions. We call them Devotion Light. We challenge kids to spend 50 days in a row with God, a little scripture, a story. And then if they want to go deeper, they can. But again, it's making that habit so that they develop a habit of planting the Word of God and having, as JP said, that relationship with God. So I don't know what it means, if it's that you take a scripture, if you take a book. Maybe you do what I did, you go through the one-year Bible, but that would be critical to your growth, and that's going to help you like crazy get through the Goliaths in your own life. And believe me, Goliaths are going to come. So anyway, great to have J.P. Jones with us today, Roger.
Yeah, absolutely. And a recommendation for the men especially listening, or for the ladies who love them, who are listening to the program as well. Dr. Jim Burns has been talking with pastor and author J.P. Jones about facing your Goliaths head on. One of the best ways, one of the most effective ways to do that, hands down, is by spending time in God's Word. And if you are not a subscriber to Homeward's daily online devotional yet, I want to encourage you to do so. First of all, it's free. Second, it's easy to sign up. All you have to do is go to homeward.com. We've got a little tab on the side for the newsletter section. That's where we have our Good Advice Parent newsletter, our online devotional, and our culture brief. You click onto that, you can subscribe to one or all three of them. They're all available without cost. But that online devotional then gives you a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, a scripture verse, and some practical application from Dr. Jim Burns and the staff here at Homeward every single day. It's a great way to face those Goliaths in your world. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.